Does your dog bark, whine, pee, and destroy things when left alone? Is your home alone training hit and miss? Are you stuck and don't know how to start or to continue the training? Let's find a solution together. This podcast is a safe space for us to talk about all things separation anxiety without judgment and focus on your dog's well-being. But first, if you like the podcast, please review it wherever you're listening to this. And this is a great way to reinforce me. Reinforcement increases behavior, it motivates the learner. So this definitely helps the podcast to keep going. So let's dive in. Hiya, my name is Patricia Grecchi, and I'm a dog behaviorist and certified separation anxiety trainer. I'm here to help your dog to be relaxed alone in the house without making you lose your freedom. In this episode, we will talk about why letting your dog cry out is not a training strategy. This will not bring you results that you want and will actually hurt your training. Are you ready? It's going to be a juicy one. Okay, let's go then. The advice that is all over the internet about training is ignore your dog when your dog is misbehaving. It sounds so simple, but if it was that simple, I would have zero jobs, right? So this probably get you thinking, well, maybe it's not exactly like that. Today I'm going to prove it to you that this isn't a good advice to give, neither a good advice to follow. Behavioral science is much more complex than ignoring behavior and reinforcing behavior, right? So if you are using this at the moment, stay with me until the end because it's going to make much more sense after this episode, I promise. And I want to do a quick note here that this doesn't only apply to separation anxiety. This applies to ignoring behaviors in general. I will use examples related to separation anxiety, but you can think about this in all the areas of training that you're using ignoring as a tactic, and I'm sure you will relate in other situations as well. Most people that adopt a puppy or dog will not be aware that every single dog needs training. You need training, human. Mostly, you need training. Your puppy certainly needs to learn how to live in a home and in a community that has rules different than what is natural for them. We certainly understand that they need us to teach them toilet training. And why we don't realize that they need us to teach them how to be alone as well? Dogs don't come with a program installed and running about how to be in a strange environment without siblings, parents, others of their own species, or even humans. The past 2, 3, 4 months, they spend all their time with loads of company from people and animals that are actually taking care of them. The mistake we always make is to assume that we'll be able to leave the house after a few weeks parenting them, and for long periods, like 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Yes, this is a long period for puppies, okay? I know that most of you wouldn't think that as a long period, but it is. And when this doesn't work, we search on marvelous internet what to do, and the advice that comes up is let them to cry out, don't reward the barking, ignore your dog, and they will grow out of it. This is when we're going to make the second mistake. We will try. Most people feel uncomfortable with the situation after a few trials and fails. Some of the most courageous, or people that feel like they don't have other choices, will go like this for longer. And this is when you're going to have the neighbors complaining, peas and poos gift when you come back home, and sometimes destruction. The most creative ones will say, after the puppy cry for 50 minutes, they will accept it and go to sleep. I have a different view. After they exhausted themselves for barking for 50 minutes, they will crash. Sometimes waking up 10 minutes later to cry for another 50 minutes. Some of you, I'm sure, are thinking, how does she know? She's inside my head. But I saw this so many times, so many times. And every single time we think, no, tomorrow going to be better. And why is that? When an animal's need is not being met, the animal will find different strategies, aka will behave in different ways, and will escalate the behavior, which means to say they're going to be more intense, as a desperate way to get what they need. Does that make sense? I'm going to give you an example of that. If your puppy whines when you leave for 5 to 10 minutes, maybe next time, most likely, your puppy is going to pace, whine, and bark when you leave. And after that, it's possible that they will pee and poo, try to escape through the door with you, bark, and maybe scratch the door. This is called extinction process. Basically means that when they are ignored, the animal will be more and more intense in order to get what they want, what they need, right? Remember that this is a need. But you don't want the behavior to get more intense. You want the behavior to decrease, right? How ironic is that? You ask for a device to solve the issue and you got in a device that makes everything worse. This is the joy of the internet. This is why I always say that YouTube is amazing, but nowhere to learn anything. It's just entertainment. The idea that the dogs will grow out behaviors fascinates me as well. Because when a dog does something, it does it for a reason, right? So it's really unlikely that your dog gonna give up and just, I don't know, just because you're looking at the ceiling or turn your back to your dog. It's the behaviors that they're pursuing have a meaning for them, right? Most behaviors, they are self-serving as well, which means to say that your dog enjoys doing it. Your dog will either try different behaviors or will be more intense to catch your attention. And guess what? It works. It really works because this is why they do it. It's really difficult to ignore certain behaviors, especially when they get more intense. Another point that I want to make is that if a dog barks at the door every single time you leave the house for a month, there is a big, actually I would say a massive chance that this will become a habit. What are habits? Habits are strong behaviors that are triggered by events and it will be performed in the same way over and over and over again. This is the way that your brain found to make life easier. So you don't have to make decisions all the time and you can just put yourself in automatic pilot and just go, right? But no thanks. We certainly don't want that in separation anxiety. Now, let's be practical. I have a few questions for you to consider before using this strategy because I feel like you understood the drill already. I just want to make sure we go through all the points where people normally think that there is a benefit on it and in my opinion there isn't. So, for example, how long will your dog bark before giving up, and now I'm using air quotes, giving up, and deciding to stop barking when you leave the house? How many months do you think it's going to take? Are you ready to endure those months? Next question. How intense do you think you're gonna get? Maybe your dog will start howling, destroying things, house soiling. Are you going to be able to deal with that? Because you can't stop your dog, right? You are outside. I want to remind you of that. I don't think I need to, you know that. But how are you going to deal with that if your dog starts peeing your carpet and your sofa and everywhere? Another question. How much can you ignore before your neighbor's complaining, you losing your mind? And how many months you will feel horrible for enduring this training? It's true, guys. It's true. It doesn't feel good. Very few people can turn, sorry, can turn that back and walk away without being heartbreaking in this situation. If you are feeling uncomfortable in training, just stop and train the strategies. It doesn't have to be like that. There is a big chance, if you're feeling like that your strategy is not the most effective and positive one. And my last question is, how long will it take us to train your dog after all this trauma happened? Because we need to think about this as well, right? If your dog never learns, which is most of the cases that I get for separation anxiety, how much time it takes after? Because if the trauma is not there, it's much quicker, right? But if the dog is already traumatized, how much time it takes? Because your dog is not a black canvas anymore. No dog is a black canvas, but now your dog have very strong feelings about something, and it's going to be difficult to change them. So you're probably seeing where I'm going with all this. But first, I want to play the devil's advocate and say that maybe the dog, after a long period, would actually shut up and not bark anymore or not do other undesirable behaviors. Right? So your dog is lying down, is staring at the wall or staring at the door. What I want to ask you is, what happened there for this animal to change their minds? And this phenomenon is called learned helplessness. This is when your dog loses hope in any behavior because it tried everything already. And nothing works. This dog might stop bark, stop to destroy things, or to try to escape. But how is this dog feeling when you leave the house? And most likely, this dog is depressed. So you're telling me that after months of enduring the uncomfortable training sessions, your dog is now depressed. What an amazing achievement, right? Jesus, what kind of advice is that? A very similar process happens when we use spray collars and other ways to stop undesirable behavior as well. And we are not changing the way the dog feels about the separation, the you leaving the house. The problem still exists. Your dog is just not complaining about it anymore. So I want to make this very, very clear. If you still had any questions about those tactics, now you can be sure. The idea behind this is not to make your dog more happy, it's to stop the symptom. And by stopping the symptom, you don't change how you use your dog inside the house. It just changes what your dog is doing, per se. I'm guilty of making those mistakes before. And I don't want you to beat yourself up if you did this too. We are not bad people because we did this. It just shows us that we have a big gap in our knowledge. You need someone that can teach you the path. This can save you a lot of time, money, and tears, I can assure you that. And you don't have to go through the same things as I did. We are making those mistakes because we truly want to believe this to be true. That we can simply leave the house and they're going to stop barking and understand this rationally. But I'm going to tell you what, dogs don't rationalize things like us. They will not think, oh, you came back. Great. Now I don't have to worry about this anymore because you always come back. This is what everyone going to tell you, but this is not how it works. It is not like that, unfortunately. It's about practice. It's about slow increments. It's about gradual increments and being able to get closer and closer to being alone for longer periods. They will be driven by how they feel, their emotions, right? When you leave the house. So the door can become this terrifying thing that when the human cross it, they feel dreadful. Don't think about like rationalizing things, right? They don't think what you're doing behind the door. They are thinking, gosh, as soon they leave, I feel bad. So then they want to stop you from crossing the door. And they are trying to make you come back so they can feel happy again. Does that make sense? That's a hard one. It's a really hard one, especially because it's such a widely spread advice. So the question here is, how can we change this? We are trapped in this idea that we need to force things, that we need to force our way through in order to have what we want, because we can't communicate in English with our dogs, and sometimes they don't understand everything we want to say. I want to remind you that we have a responsibility with the animals that we decided to bring to our home. The responsibility is that we need to teach them how to live in our terms. And there is a language that they can learn and you can learn as well. The problem is that 99.9% of people, and I'm just inventing a number, who have dogs are not fluent in this language. The language that I'm talking about is training, and the other one is body language. Those two things can help you a lot. Hear me out. Training is the answer for all the issues. It's perfect. It's like the most amazing thing ever invented. What a surprise that I'm saying that. No, I'm joking. Not for all the issues. But at least in here in the podcast, I can kind of get away with saying something like that. But behavior science is fucking amazing. And it's bloody complex as well, guys. There is a reason why we have certified separation anxiety trainers. And you don't have to figure out all by yourself, right? But there is something that is important for you to know. That body language is what you're going to use to communicate with your dog, right? So basically, if you're going to leave the house, you're going to be in a call with your dog, let's say a camera or something, and you're going to be listening to what your dog is telling you. And how is that? You're going to be listening to the body language, right? If your dog is telling you, yeah, all right then, go on. You can stay outside, it's fine. But all of a sudden, maybe that conversation is going to change. Going to be like, what are you doing out there? Why are you not coming back? Maybe you need to come back now. This is not fun. And the conversation might change again, the tone. Like, please, please come back. Hey, oh, what are you doing? I'm here by myself. Please come back. I can't deal with this. I can't cope with this. So basically, this is me playing the dog, right? There is loads of body language that you're going to see that are telling you this. For each dog is different, right? So there is no reason for me to come here and say to you, if a dog licked their lips, then this means blah, 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 blah. That doesn't mean anything because each dog shows in a different way. Each dog will formulate their phrases in different ways. Right? Let's put it like that. They're going to use different words to say the same thing. And you need to learn how your dog speaks. If you can understand each one of those stages, your dog being like, yeah, off you go, completely fine. Other stage would be, what's going on? Why are you not coming back? And the other stage being, please come back. I'm being very serious now. If you can understand those three stages, you will have success in separation anxiety training. Almost 100% sure. It might take a while. It might be super quick. It depends on the dog, obviously. But if you can understand this conversation, you're going to have success. The other language that I mentioned is training, right? And when I mean training, it doesn't mean going without a plan and trying something and then getting frustrated because it didn't work. I'm thinking about you knowing what is your training plan, knowing what you're doing, and being able to perform that, being able to do the steps that you're required in order to completing that training plan. And this takes a little bit of fluency, right? If I am writing a training plan for myself, it's hard. But if I'm writing a training plan for someone else, it's easier because I can see from outside. Imagine if for me it's hard, imagine for you. Like, imagine all the emotions that are mixed with that and how involved you are in that, how difficult it is to actually see it properly for what it is and not what we want it to be, right? So having fluency in training is not only about having a training plan and following it, it's also about understanding why using each technique, right? And this is what we do when we do a session for separation anxiety, a month package with me. I would go through everything and explain to you what is going on and why your dog is getting triggered by certain things after analyzing it and assessing the situation. And then going through with you what are the steps for our training, why we're doing each thing in our training. You need to know those things. Because if you don't know why you're picking up the key 560 times per day, which by the way, it doesn't work, sorry. But if you don't know why you're doing that, then there is a massive gap in your knowledge that's going to be really hard for you to make it work. Because if something doesn't look like you want it, how are you going to adjust that? How are you going to know how it's supposed to look like, right? If you don't even know why you're doing it. And I want you to think about specifics. I'm not talking about like, oh yeah, I want my dog to go to sleep. Yeah, okay. How about if your dog's not sleeping? How about if your dog is at the door? How about if your dog is didn't see you leaving? How about if you don't know those specifics, it's gonna be really hard for you to train. So you're gonna have to be fluent and understand what you're doing. You're gonna have to be able to put a training plan in place. And you're gonna have to be able to adjust things when things don't look like they should. And as they should, I want you to read this as maybe your dog's too relaxed, or maybe your dog is too tense, right? So you're having that conversation and you're seeing maybe your dog's not bothering at all with the training you're doing. So what do you need to do to adjust that and make sure that the training gonna look exactly as you want and gonna get the results that you want and gonna be as effective as possible, right? So if you get that fluency and if you learn how to read a dog's body language, you're certainly gonna get there, right? Those two combined give you a quick access to the results you want, And it gives you certainty that you're not going to traumatize or not going to get stuck in the training as well. There is those two problems. We need to find a sweet spot. Not go too slow, not go too quick. So I feel like I needed to just break this down for you. And do you know what? You can just take the lead from who did this many, many times before and learn how to teach your dog how to be alone without feeling guilty. Having loads of support throughout the way and knowing exactly what you're doing. In case that sounds like exactly what you need, you can contact me on Instagram at positivedoglondon or on the website, which is positivedoglondon.com. Or you can even email me if you're so inclined, which is positivedoglondon@gmail.com. So all of them, positivedoglondon, all together, right? I can teach you how to shape those good feelings when you leave the house and understand your dog's body language better so you can have that chat and know when your dog is asking for you to come back before all your progress goes out of the window. Okay? So just feel free, message me. Let's have a chat. I have a discovery call in the website that you can just book. We can chat about this and see how I can help you. If you're already training and you're gradually increasing the duration while watching your dog and your dog is relaxed or is snoozing, just go for it. You're doing it right. Just remember to hear the feedbacks from your dog. If your dog says, "I'm feeling uncomfortable," then come back and just change the training plan. Believe in what your dog tells you, okay? They are not acting out. Just believe in them. And if you feel like you're a bit stuck, going a bit too slowly, I can always help you with that as well. Cool. I think that was it. I hope the episode wasn't too dark. Sometimes it can be with those subjects. But I know if I know it was intense, but I just hope you liked it. Thanks a lot for listening to the podcast. Please let me know if you liked it by reviewing it or sending me a DM on Instagram. I'm gonna absolutely love to hear from you, and I see you soon. Have fun training.